Coming Friday, November 14th, and Saturday, November 15th, Issues Etc. 24. It's a live 24-hour broadcast of Issues Etc. from 10 in the morning Central Time on November 14th through 10 in the morning Central Time on November 15th. This year's theme, Myths About Lutheranism. Issues Etc. 24, Friday, November 14th, and Saturday, November 15th. Listen live at issuesetc.org.
Every week we go on a little hunt, a little search for Christ in the Old Testament with Pastor Brian Ketchelmeyer. Now, it really should come as no surprise to us that every week we are successful. We find exactly what we're looking for because that is where Christ is to be found by his own testimony. These are the scriptures that testify of me. Even in the more obscure portions of scripture that we don't generally hear read or study on a regular basis. Obscure not because they're unimportant, just because, well, maybe they're just little, like the book of Zephaniah. Not a big book, not a particularly big prophet, but tied in with the other, the sweep, the warp and the woof of the Old Testament story in a significant way, and speaking with the same voice as the other Old Testament prophets. So should it surprise us that even in the book of Zephaniah, we will find Christ there being proclaimed? Joining us for our series, our weekly series on Christ in the Old Testament, and to help us study Zephaniah chapter 1, Pastor Brian Ketchelmeyer, pastor of Redeemer Lutheran Church in Los Alamos, New Mexico, host of the weekly radio talk show called Redeemer Theological Academy. Brian, welcome back.
It's great to be here, Todd.
I always like it when things tie together and you say that there is a tie-in in Zephaniah chapter 1 with what we were talking about last week, the prophet Amos, a warning about the people's idolatry and their desire for the day of the Lord when the day of the Lord was coming upon them because of their idolatry as judgment, as darkness and not light. What's the tie-in with Zephaniah?
Well, there's so many tie-ins that it's just it's unbelievable how these two work together. It's almost like this case of deja vu. You know, when we had Amos is going to the northern kingdom, and he's proclaiming, he's telling people to seek Yahweh and live. He's telling them to go to the temple where Yahweh promises to be there for their good. And they didn't listen. And of course, that whole city of Samaria, the capital, was all destroyed. You had the Assyrians come in. And then now here we are later. I mean, this is years later. Now in the city of Jerusalem, you have the same problem. And so all of these false liturgies that have been creative to be like kind of just the same way the contemporaries are worshiping is now being embraced by Jerusalem. And Jerusalem's doing the same thing. So now you have to send a prophet yet again, but now write to Jerusalem and say, seek Yahweh and live. And in both places, you had the preachers. You had these preachers of prosperity saying, hey, don't worry, nothing's ever going to happen. There's this whole false security that God is with us and nothing can ever move us and everything's great. And so everybody's waiting on Yahweh to act. So they're waiting for the day of Yahweh. So we're waiting for Yahweh to do what he said he would do in that day. And we're ready for the future because the future is bright for us. Well, this is the same problem in both places now. Even though the northern kingdom has already been decimated, and now you're into the 7th century, and you're about to see the southern kingdom get decimated by the Babylonians. But both prophets have to come to them and say, woe to you who desire the day of Yahweh. And so Amos said that in chapter 5. Why would you have the day of Yahweh come? Because it's going to be darkness, and it's not going to be light. It's going to be gloom, and there's going to be no brightness in it for you. Because you refuse to listen to him. You refuse to seek him. Instead, you prefer to dwell in darkness, and you're going to find exactly what you're looking for. You will continue in your darkness, and when Yahweh comes, you will remain in darkness. So it's going to be a day of darkness for you. And this is the same speech that Zephaniah picks up on. You know, that this day of Yahweh, hey, wake up, people. This is a day of wrath. It's a day of distress and anguish, a day of ruin and destruction, of darkness and gloom, clouds and thick darkness. And there's going to be a trumpet blast and a battle cry against this fortified city. Because if you want a war against Yahweh, Well, he's going to bring it. And that's what you want. You want Yahweh to come? Well, he's going to come, and it's not going to be good. And in both Amos and Zephaniah, in these two chapters, there's this incredible connection going back to those words back in Deuteronomy, the covenant blessings and curses, that if you continue to walk in the light, continue to listen to the voice of Yahweh, you will be blessed, and you will have food, and no foreign enemy will ever overtake you. However, in Deuteronomy 28, if you refuse to listen to Yahweh and you do not choose to seek him, but to seek other gods and other ways to him, then what will happen is you will, the houses that you build, well, you won't live in them. And the vineyards that you planted, you're not going to drink the wine from them. Now, both Amos in chapter 5 and Zephaniah in chapter 1 use this same refrain, that though they build these houses, they shall not inhabit them. Though they plant vineyards, they shall not drink wine from them. And that was the warning that Moses had given. And so you got to go back to Deuteronomy to understand that Moses had promised that Yahweh would come. You go back to chapter 18, where Moses promises the prophet, like Moses, will rise up, which of course is Jesus. And this is the one to whom you are to listen to. But if the people of God in the days of Moses or in the days of Amos or Zephaniah refuse to listen to the second person of the Trinity in their day, they will refuse to listen to him on the day of the incarnation. And so both of these cases, the people have stopped listening. They've stopped waiting for the salvation that Yahweh's providing, and they're looking elsewhere for deliverance and for prosperity. And so when you go back to Deuteronomy 28, it tells you about the blessings. If you continue to listen to the voice, and you're going to listen for the second person of the Holy Trinity who will come and he will speak, and what he speaks is what the Father speaks. But if you refuse to listen, then you will build houses, you won't live in them, you will plant vineyards, and you won't drink wine from them. But then immediately what Moses will say, though, is you will be led off into captivity, and then when you're brought back from captivity, then your fortunes will be restored. And so this is a theme that you see in both Amos and in Zephaniah.
Okay, so the two prophets, although they are separated geographically, and I take it by, what, a century? Is that right? About a century?
Well, the crazy thing is with Amos, is Amos is going to Bethel, and he's going in the days of Jeroboam the second. And when he's in the days of Jeroboam the second, he says that, hey, the Assyrians are going to come. This is going to be destruction. Everything's going to be bad. This temple will be destroyed, and nothing's going to be good. And this is Jeroboam the second with this altar here. And, of course, the northern kingdom falls in 722, 721. Well, Isaiah is preaching, and then, of course, you have Zephaniah preaching, kind of succeeding Isaiah in Jerusalem, and Zephaniah is now a prophet during the reign of King Josiah, who is the son of Manasseh. Manasseh was one who kind of led all of Jerusalem kind of to be just like what Israel was. So everything that Israel was doing wrong is now incorporated in Jerusalem. But when Josiah comes to the throne, he's only 8 years old. And so this is when Zephaniah the prophet is preaching. And so this is in the 7th century. So this is, 640 to 609 is about the reign there of Josiah. And of course, you'll have contemporary would be somebody like Jeremiah in those days preaching. And so you have all of this going on, but it's in the days of Josiah when Josiah the king actually goes up to Bethel, that temple we were talking about last time, and he's the one that finally destroys that altar. So you have that altar built by Jeroboam the first. In the days of Amos, he's talking to Jeroboam the second, and then finally the northern kingdom is overthrown, and now you have a son of David who comes and destroys this false worship, which of course points to Jesus, who is the true son of David that we're waiting for, who will destroy all false worship and lead us all out of this captivity and darkness to these doctrines of demons.
Now, the theme that's also shared between the two, Zephaniah and Amos, is the day of the Lord. Talk about that, if you would.
Yeah, again, this day of Yahweh is good news for the people of God, because ever since the book of Genesis, you're waiting for Yahweh's salvation. And so it's something that's set off into the future. You're waiting for the day for Yahweh to act. And when Yahweh acts, then you have justice. And that's what we all want, is we want justice. We want sin to be removed. We want oppression to cease. We want the devil and his dominion to be put to an end. So this is all good. But the problem is that when you're waiting for this day and you've actually been led astray to be in part of this allegiance with the devil and his kingdom of darkness, and you don't really see, you've become spiritually blind, it's not going to be a good day for you. I mean, if you want God's will to be done and you want God's kingdom to come, well, one of the things he's going to do is remove sin. And he's going to remove those who are oppressing the people with this darkness, leading them away from God. Well, this is what the priests, the prophets, the leaders of Jerusalem are now doing. So the day of the Lord is, yes, it's going to be the time that God acts. And for those who trust in the Lord and continue to listen to him and walk in the light, then this will be a day of light, because you'll have exactly where you've been as you've been journeying, as you've been the sojourner. But on the other hand, if you refuse to listen to him now and you continue in that path of darkness, well, when you get to the destination, it's going to be a day of darkness. It's when Jesus uses that imagery of the separation between the goats and the sheep. The sheep are those who listen to the voice of Jesus. They know the good shepherd. And so they've been sheep as they've been on this pilgrimage. And so on that last day when he separates them out, they continue to hear his voice. Whereas the goats are those who refuse to listen all the days of their life. They have been led astray. And so when they get to the final judgment, their will is done.
Pastor Brian Ketchelmeyer is our guest. It's our series every week with him on Christ in the Old Testament. We're in Zephaniah chapter 1. When we come back, we're going to talk about the prophet's call, God's call through the prophets, both Zephaniah and Amos, for silence and why, right after this.
Martin Luther taught that the chief function of music and worship was the proclamation of the Word of God. With Heirs of the Reformation, Treasures of the Singing Church, you will hear over two centuries of Lutheran musical theology, beautifully performed and faithfully sung. For a limited time, save 10% on this 4-CD set when you use promotional code URA. Simply visit cph.org today. Lutheran thought, Lutheran substance, Lutheran music. Brought to you by Concordia Publishing House.
In Hosea 4, we read, "My people are destroyed by lack of knowledge." At the CLCC, we educate Lutherans on being Lutheran. The Confessional Lutherans for Christ's Commission treasure our Lutheran beliefs and think that all Christians would if they learned what we believe, teach, and confess. Visit our website at theclcc.org. See what we have to offer. Get on our mailing list, or better yet, join us. And encourage your pastors to hold an event in your area. For more information, go to theclcc.org.
How would you like to receive Martin Luther's A Simple Way to Pray, signed by its translator, Pastor Matt Harrison, president of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod? Everyone who records their answer to the question, "Issues, etc., what does this mean?" by Friday morning, November the 14th, will receive an autographed copy of A Simple Way to Pray. The listener with the best recording will also win two Concordia commentaries, Galatians and Romans 1 through 8. Leave your thoughts about this worldwide outreach on the Issues, Etc. comment line by Friday morning, November the 14th at 618-223-8382. Be sure to give us your first name and tell us where you're from. 618-223-8382. Issues, Etc. What does this mean? 618-223-8382.
You can teach lay people theology. You're listening to Issues, Etc.
Thanks to the following congregations for standing with us by joining the Issues, Etc. 300. Our Savior Lutheran, Pacifica, California. Messiah Lutheran, Danville, California. Faith Lutheran, Capistrano Beach, California. Grace Lutheran, San Mateo, California. Our Savior Lutheran, Grand Rapids, Michigan. St. Paul Lutheran, Hamel, Illinois. St. Paul Lutheran, Brookfield, Illinois. Grace Lutheran, Racine, Wisconsin. St. John's Lutheran, Mayville, Wisconsin. Prince of Peace Lutheran, Crestwood, Missouri. Faith Lutheran, Plano, Texas. St. Paul Lutheran, Austin, Texas. University Hills Lutheran, Denver, Colorado. St. John Lutheran, Topeka, Kansas. Peace Lutheran, Alma, Michigan. Zion Lutheran, Imperial, Nebraska. And Trinity Lutheran, St. Charles, Missouri. Find out how your church can support this worldwide outreach by including Issues Etc. in your mission or advertising budget at our website, issuesetc.org. Click support. The Issues Etc. 300. Welcome back to Issues Etc. It's Thursday afternoon, November the 13th. Christ in the Old Testament, our weekly series with Pastor Brian Ketchelmeyer. We're in Zephaniah chapter 1. The prophets call for this silence. Zephaniah actually says, "Be silent before the Lord God, for the day of the Lord is near. The Lord has prepared a sacrifice and consecrated his guests." Now, this is, if you get something like the day of the Lord and the Lord preparing a sacrifice in one verse, it's hard not to hear that as a pronouncement, a proclamation of the coming Messiah, isn't it?
Well, what happens here is you have these prosperity preachers who have been filling their ears with all of these false messages. And so when you have this be silent, what it is stop talking. These guys who are just talking the imagination of their hearts, this is not the Holy Spirit. This is a false spirit, and it's leading you away from Christ. So instead, listen to Zephaniah, because he's the one who has the Holy Spirit, and he's the one who will proclaim Christ to you. Same thing with Amos. You know, therefore, the one who is prudent will be silent in such a time, because such a time is evil. And so you need to be silent so that you can actually listen. You know, stop talking about your own ideas of what the kingdom will look like. Instead, listen to what God himself says is the kingdom. And we know from the New Testament, the way the Apostle Paul will talk, is this whole language that the law comes to reveal sin. That it's through this preaching of the law that the knowledge of sin comes. And when that law proclaims a sin to us, it is in order that every mouth may be stopped and the whole world may be held accountable to God. So that now it's time to listen when you recognize your sin. Now, the idea of sacrifice, of course, in both Amos and in Zephaniah, everybody thinks that they're doing wonderful things because they have these exciting liturgies and they have sacrifices. The problem is these are innovative sacrifices. These are sacrifices that they think would be pleasing to God, but they're not the sacrifices that God himself has instituted through the Levites in order to actually give to you the deliverance of this forgiveness of sins and holiness. And so this idea of sacrifice, when he's proclaiming it to the leaders, there's going to be a sacrifice. You want a sacrifice, and the idea of sacrifice is always the idea of death. And so get ready, because there's going to be a sacrifice. There's going to be death. It's going to be the slaughter and removal of all these false leaders. I mean, so if that's what you want, is you want the shedding of blood, then this is exactly what you will see on Jerusalem. And God himself will lead the charge as he brings the Babylonians in to be these instruments to shed this blood. And so this is kind of this, if you're so interested about sacrifices and the more blood you have, the better, then that's exactly what I'm going to give you. So constantly, these people are seeking things that are not of God, and God says, if that's what you want, that's exactly what you'll find. And so you then won't look for the sacrifice that I'm preparing. And all of these Old Testament sacrifices that were put in place, that the Levites alone were to perform, were all pointing towards the sacrifice that God is preparing. That is that atonement. That is in the incarnation. He will take upon flesh and blood so that he himself can die and be that atoning sacrifice, so that he can be the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. But these people are not listening at all. And so if they're not going to listen, they can have exactly what they want. If they want the shedding of blood, they will get the shedding of blood. The problem is they're going to be the ones that are going to be sacrificed, if you will. But instead, what they should be listening to is the sacrifice that God is preparing for all time, that sacrifice that actually takes place before the foundation of the world, so that all these promises of deliverance and the forgiveness of sins and the restoration of our corrupted nature all is delivered to us in these promises, all based upon the accomplishments of Christ in his work.
Now, you said before, actually, there are two things here. First, it seems to be, and I think we've seen this again and again and again with the prophets, when the people fall into error, it's not just a false belief, but as you've mentioned here already, this afternoon, it's a false worship. It's a worship that has some of the, in some respects, similarities to the true worship of Yahweh, but it isn't. And God, one of the things he condemns the most among them is a worship that they think is directed toward him, but is not. Talk about the connection between their idolatry that is a matter of their belief, but also of their practice.
Well, it's impossible to please God without faith. And, of course, it's impossible to have faith without the preached word of God. I mean, faith comes through hearing, and hearing is this preached word of Christ. And so this whole point of be silent is now it's time to listen. The prophets are sent to bring repentance, and so they want to bring faith to the people. They want to deliver what God himself promises. So they want to give the people Jesus. And so it's time to listen, that they would have faith, that now the Holy Spirit would be given to them and work in them to create this faith. But the problem is they don't have faith, and without faith, it's impossible to please God. So they think the things that they're doing are pleasing in God's sight. Again, it's these leaders and the priests themselves. I mean, it's the priest who Zephaniah will say, the priests themselves are profaning the holy things. So even though the priests have the written word and they know exactly what the institution is, they are adding to it, they are changing it, they are making it more exciting, more relevant to whatever's going on in the culture, the contemporary setting there. And these are the priests. These are actually the Levites themselves. So it's not just because it's a Levite that it makes it acceptable. It's if it's of God's word, where he institutes it, his means of grace that he puts into place, where he promises to deliver these forgiveness of sins. And so what constantly is happening is even these Levitical priests themselves now, I mean, before, when we were talking about Bethel, these were priests of Joab. These were not Levitical priests. I mean, these were not legitimate preachers. These were guys who were working outside of the office. But now we're talking specifically about Levites who are placed into this priestly office to offer the sacrifices that God himself has instituted. But they're not. But everybody thinks that it's acceptable. Everybody thinks that it's okay because, after all, it's a Levitical priest. It's not like the problems they had in the north where they were non-Levites. We now have the legitimate priesthood. Therefore, whatever they do must be pleasing to God.
Then, you said before that the prophet is sent there to expose the people's sin, not only to pronounce judgment, but ultimately so that they might be restored through the forgiveness of that sin. Where did the prophet Zephaniah take us in that direction?
Well, the issue at hand is like the priest. I mean, so now we have Levitical priest in Jerusalem there who are supposed to be doing what God says but are not listening. So the priests are actually not listening to the word. The priests are not actually seeking Yahweh. They're seeking other things. And so what the prophet does is now he's trying to correct everything, and the prophet is trying to take the people back to the written word of Moses, back to the place where the Levitical sacrifices were actually instituted, where the means of grace were given to the people. And so you have both in Amos and Zephaniah this refrain, seek Yahweh and live, or this fire is going to break out, this fire of judgment, this wrath of God is going to come out. And so Amos says, seek Yahweh and live, seek good and not evil, because their leaders are calling evil good and calling good evil, and they're not listening to God's word. And so Zephaniah has the same thing, where he, again, be silent, but now listen. Seek Yahweh, all you humble of the land, and do his just commands. Seek righteousness, seek humility, in order that you may be hidden on the day of the anger of Yahweh. And so this is what the prophets are doing, is they want the people to listen. Seek Yahweh and live. And so as the people are trained to listen to Yahweh, then they are ready to listen to the second person of the Holy Trinity, who is the very Word, the Word who always comes to the people, the one who tries to seek the lost, to bring them back, you know, Jerusalem, Jerusalem, how I desired to gather you under my wings, but you would not come. And so this is to seek Jesus and live, that all of the prophets' promises that they're giving out is achieved in the incarnation. So the prophet, like Zephaniah, says, seek Yahweh and you'll be delivered from sin. You'll be delivered from death. You'll be delivered from the devil, and you'll be delivered from this wrath to come. And all of this, of course, is achieved in the Holy Incarnation.
Pastor Brian Ketchelmeyer is our guest. We'll take a break. And when we come back, another 10 minutes with him in our series on Christ in the Old Testament. We're in Zephaniah chapter 1. He's pastor of Redeemer Lutheran Church in Los Alamos, New Mexico, and host of a weekly radio talk show called Redeemer Theological Academy. You'll find a link to Redeemer Theological Academy right there at our website, issuesetc.org. Click Listen on Demand. Did you know that Luther Academy has been providing continuing education for confessional Lutheran pastors and lay people worldwide for more than 20 years? Luther Academy promotes confessional Lutheran theology through conferences, scholarly exchanges, and publications like Logia, the Confessional Lutheran Dogmatic Series, and Luther Digest. Find out more about Luther Academy and sign up for their free email newsletter at lutheracademy.com. lutheracademy.com.
Arch Fitness of Greater St. Louis has a new fall schedule for adult boot camps and sports performance training classes. There's plenty of flexibility with workouts on weekday mornings, weekday evenings, or even Saturday mornings. Arch Fitness is located at 127 West MacArthur Drive in Cottage Hills, Illinois. For more information, check out the Facebook fan page for Arch Fitness or call Kevin Reisick at 618-670-6952. Get in shape this fall with Arch Fitness of Cottage Hills, Illinois.
Issues Etc. 24 begins in 17 hours and 15 minutes. You're listening to Issues Etc.
I like to think of the deaconess vocation as driven by two things, the love of Christ and the needs of our neighbor.
Issues Etc. regular guest Dr. James Buescher, Director of Deaconess Studies at Concordia Theological Seminary, Fort Wayne, Indiana, on the vocation of deaconess.
First, the deaconess is moved by the love of Christ, who came not to be served, but to serve. Yet I think we can also see the profound needs around us, broken families, loneliness, despair. Deaconesses help the church to become a true family that manifests the love of Christ in our love for one another, and especially for those in need.
For more information on the Deaconess Studies program at Concordia Theological Seminary, Fort Wayne, Indiana, visit ctsfw.edu or call Concordia Theological Seminary at 1-800-481-2155, 800-481-2155. Welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. 10 more minutes with Pastor Brian Ketchelmeyer on this Thursday afternoon. We're doing our series, Christ in the Old Testament, in Zephaniah chapter 1. You've used the term restore of fortunes. He's going to restore their fortunes. He's going to restore them. What does that specifically mean? Where do we find that, the picture of restored fortunes for the people of God, even after their idolatry?
Well, you get this in the book of Deuteronomy, where Moses is proclaiming all of these blessings that you have because of the covenant, that God has come and he has redeemed his people out of Egypt. He has brought them out of slavery to be his own treasured possession, and he continues to give them life. He continues to bestow his holiness on them. And so everything's fine when they walk in the light. But then, like we said, when they decide to walk in darkness and to be captivated by this, to be captured by the devil in this dominion, and not even realizing that they're there. I mean, they think that everything's fine because their preachers of prosperity say everything is fine. And so that's that curse, that now they have actually become captured in this darkness, and they'll be taken off into exile. Now, Moses himself says this is exactly what's going to happen. You're going to desire to be like the nations, and then that's exactly what's going to happen. You will be carried away to the nations. You will be taken, and you will be captured. You will go into exile. But then in Deuteronomy chapter 30, Moses gives them the promise, however, when all of these things happen upon you, these blessings and the curse, which I have set before you, And then you finally call to mind. Well, how can you call to mind? Well, it's you seek Yahweh. You listen to his word. When you call to mind among all the nations where Yahweh, your God, has driven you, and you are returned to Yahweh, your God, and you listen to him, then God will restore your fortunes, and he will have mercy upon you. And so this is the idea of this restoration of their fortunes. They've been captured, and they've been possessed by these possessions of the world, and they don't realize it. And so God says, fine, be possessed by your possessions and go. Be captive by these things that are part of fallen creation instead of the Creator. But now he says, I will then restore you. I will bring you back to Jerusalem, the land of promise, the place where the Christ will be born in Bethlehem, the incarnation will take place of the Virgin, where in Jerusalem the sacrifice he prepares will actually take place, and he will restore your fortune. So he first has to take it all away so they recognize that they've been captured by it, and then he will restore them and restore their fortunes. Now, both the prophet Amos and the prophet Zephaniah in their books on this note. Amos does the same thing going back to Deuteronomy and Deuteronomy 30 about the restored fortunes. He ends at chapter 9 and says, I will restore the fortunes of my people Israel, and they shall rebuild the ruined cities and inhabit them. They shall plant vineyards and drink their wine, and they shall make gardens and eat their fruit. Again, that curse was, you'll plant houses, you won't live in it, you'll build houses, won't live in it, you'll plant vineyards and not drink it, but now it's going to be restored. Zephaniah does the same thing. In chapter 2, he says, Yahweh, their God, will be mindful of them, and he will restore their fortunes. In chapter 3, at that time, I will bring you in, and at that time when I gather you together, I will make you renowned and praised among all the peoples of the earth, and I will restore your fortunes. And so this is the promise that you have, this restoration here.
And the picture is of a complete restoration, not just kind of putting things back the way they were, but putting things back the way they were even before the fall into sin. Is that true?
And so, yeah, it's this complete restoration. I mean, if you go back to Zephaniah chapter 1, this is this whole imagery of creation being taken away. In Genesis, you have God puts everything on the face of the earth. He puts all these plants and the animals and man. And then you have in Zephaniah chapter 1, well, everything's going to be swept away. Everything's going to be taken off of the face of the earth. The man on it and the beast. Everything is just going to be removed. The birds of the heaven, the fish of the sea, kind of an undoing of what happens in creation is now we're going to wipe it all away. But then you have this restoration so that the first man who comes from the ground, he is the one who taints it all. And so now we have to remove it, and we have to restore it now with this second man, of course, who is Christ, our Lord, the one who comes in the incarnate, in this body, becoming flesh in order to restore this human nature. And so this all points to Jesus. And that's why these wonderful words there at the end of Zephaniah chapter 3 all talk about this coming king. It's the King of Israel, Yahweh. This is who Jesus is. He is Yahweh, the King of Israel, the one who is in your midst. This is the incarnation. Jesus is Yahweh, your God, in your midst. This is the incarnation. Jesus is the mighty God who will save you. Just like Isaiah had said in chapter 9 and chapter 10, he is the one who saves. He's the mighty God. And so you have all of this ringing through Zephaniah chapter 3 with all the similar language of this triumphal entry on Palm Sunday. And so when you look at Zephaniah chapter 3, starting at verse 14, it's, sing aloud, O daughter Zion. Shout, O Israel. Rejoice and exult with all your heart, O daughter of Jerusalem. For Yahweh has taken away the judgments against you, and he has cleared away your enemies. The King of Israel, Yahweh, is in your midst, and you shall never again fear evil. On that day he shall be said to Jerusalem, fear not, O Zion, let not your hands grow weak, for Yahweh your God is in your midst, a mighty one who will save. He will rejoice over you with gladness. And he will quiet you with his love. He will exult over you with loud singing. And so before this idea of be silent, you've spoken enough, and now he's going to quiet you where you want to listen about this message of who he is and what he does. He will quiet you with his love. And now he's actually going to rejoice over you. Instead, he was bemoaning, and he was mourning, and he was frustrated with the people, but now he will rejoice with them because the King of Israel, Yahweh, is the one who comes to save. This is Christ our Lord.
So should it surprise us at all that when this comes to fruition, Christ appears as this humble, lowly king? You mentioned before the triumphal entry into Jerusalem, spoken of by Zechariah, where the parallel is there. Should that surprise us at all?
No. This is how God comes to us. God comes to us in his weakness. He comes to us and he brings to us salvation. He seeks out those who are lost. And so he comes to us gently. He's the one who then says, come to me, all who are heavy laden, all who are burdened, and I will give you rest. For this is what he comes to do. He comes to restore that which is weak. He comes to give life to that which is dying. He comes to give health to that which is sick. But he comes gently. And he comes, of course, with this peace, to be in the midst of his people. But this is what the whole gospel is about, that he comes there for their sake. And the whole fact that the people of God have his presence in Jerusalem and just trample over him, just neglect him, refuse to listen, don't go to the altar at the temple, but instead go to other fancier altars. This is constantly God still just bearing the burden of his people, just bearing with their weakness and being long-suffering with them, because his desire is that they would be restored, that he would wipe their sins away, and he would take away this corrupted nature and remove the devil who's oppressing them.
Pastor Brian Ketchelmeyer is pastor of Redeemer Lutheran Church in Los Alamos, New Mexico. He's host of a weekly radio talk show called Redeemer Theological Academy, and next week on Christ in the Old Testament, we'll talk with Pastor Ketchelmeyer about Ezekiel chapter 34. Brian, thanks for being our guest.
Great to be here, Todd.
Folks, here's the lineup for Issues Etc. 24. It begins tomorrow morning at 10 a.m. at issuesetc.org. A live 24-hour broadcast of Issues Etc. All the way through those 24 hours, we are going to be talking about the various myths about Lutheranism. All these times are central, so please take note of that. And again, you can listen live at issuesetc.org beginning tomorrow morning, 10 a.m. Central, issuesetc.org. We're going to begin Friday morning at 10 o'clock with an hour-long conversation with Pastor Jonathan Fisk on this myth, the Lutheran confessions really don't apply in the 21st century. A little bit later, Pastor Stephen Parks will join us to address the myth that Lutherans believe in consubstantiation. Many Lutherans are confused on this themselves. Pastor Paul McCain will join us about 1 o'clock in the afternoon tomorrow to answer the myth that Luther didn't go far enough in reforming the church. Pastor Will Whedon will be with us after that during our regular live broadcast hours to address the myth that Lutherans believe worship is adiaphora, that is, something neither commanded nor forbidden by God in Scripture. About 5 o'clock tomorrow afternoon, we'll continue Issues Etc. 24 with Dr. Uwe Simonetto answering the myth that Martin Luther was anti-Semitic. Dr. Lane Berglund will join us to address the myth that Lutherans overemphasize Paul's theology. Then Dr. Martin Nolan will be with us to address two myths, in fact, Luther intended to start a new church and that Lutherans are liberal. And then Craig Parton will be with us for Issues Etc. 24, addressing the myth that Lutherans can have evangelical style and Lutheran substance. Pastor Jeremy Rohde on Lutherans' teaching that everyone is a minister around midnight on Saturday morning. Pastor Brian Wolfmiller will be with us. We'll address the myth that Lutherans don't teach about the end times. Pastor Tom Baker will join us to talk about Lutherans believing in once baptized, always saved. Pastor Matt Harrison will be around about 3 in the morning on Saturday morning, addressing the myth Lutherans don't care about missions. And then Dr. John Kleinig will join us for a couple hours to address the myth that Lutherans don't teach about the Holy Spirit. Chris Rosebar will help us round the bend near the end to talk about the myth Luther invented the doctrine of law and gospel. And finally, for the last several hours of Issues Etc. 24, Pastor Peter Bender will be with us right around 8 o'clock Saturday morning till the very end to address the myth that Lutherans don't believe or teach good works. That's the whole lineup for Issues Etc. 24. It starts tomorrow morning at 10 a.m. Central. You can listen live all 24 hours on the myths about Lutheranism at issuesetc.org. I'm Todd Wilkin. Thanks for listening, and I'll talk with you tomorrow at 10 Central at issuesetc.org.
Listen weekday afternoons to Pastor Todd Wilkin and guests on Issues Etc. Issues Etc. is a listener-supported program. Your financial support is vital for the continuation and expansion of this worldwide outreach. Our mailing address, Issues Etc., P.O. Box 83, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. Box 83, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. You can also donate at our website, issuesetc.org. Issues Etc. is a production of LPR, Lutheran Public Radio.
Repentance and forgiveness, sin and grace, law and gospel. More than cliches, real preaching for real people in need of hearing the real Christ. Christ for you and the divine service at St. Paul Lutheran Church of Hamel, Illinois, where we gather every Saturday night at 6 and on the Lord's Day, Sunday mornings at 7:45 and 10. Look for the Church of the Neon Cross on I-55 between exits 30 and 33. Find us on the web, stpaullutheranchurchhamel.org. St. Paul Lutheran Church of Hamel, where there is the forgiveness of sins, life and salvation for the people of God.